Recording has now started.
Okay, super.
Thanks, sir.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the reconvened IGO-PDP Working Group on Red Cross Names call on the 18th of October, 2017. On the call today, we have Mason Cole, David Maher, Jeff Newman, Osvaldo Novoa, Thomas Rickert, and Stefan Hansen. We have apologies from Christopher Lamb, Chuck Gomes, and Jennifer Breckenridge. And then from staff, we have Mary Wong, Steve Chan, Dennis Chang, Barry Cobb, and myself, Julie Bislam. I'd like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid background noise. And thank you so much. I'll turn it back over to Thomas Rickert.
Thanks very much, Julie. You did a great introduction, far nicer than I could ever have done it. So welcome to all of you from my side. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. So let's check whether there are any updates to statements of interest. If you have an update to your statement of interest, which you should have published on ICANN's website, please do let us know. Okay, that doesn't seem to be the case. Then let me ask whether there are any questions or change requests with respect to the agenda that we circulated. That does not seem to be the case either. That allows us to move to the second agenda item. For those who have read the covering note in preparation for this call, you will already know that what we're trying today is the following. We are going to try to mature our deliberations to a stage where we can more or less proceed to finalizing the recommendation and putting something out for public comment, hopefully soon. At the moment, we do not yet have a finite list of strings that need to be that everyone can review. You will remember that some of you have explicitly requested to see a list of strings that is going to be covered by the protections that are sought for these types of strings. And therefore, what we're trying to do is work on a formula of what strings are protected, what variations of the Red Cross and Society names should be added, in what languages, what scripts, et cetera, so that whenever a new society is added to the international group of societies, no further policy development process is needed, but that ICANN staff, by way of implementation, can use the formula to add specific strings to the list of protected names. So, as I mentioned, we still don't have this finite list of strings for your review, but what we can do is look at the formula in more detail, and we're going to do that in an iterative process. And in agenda item number two, we're going to take a look at the original PDP recommendations and how those and what has been protected according those. And I think that this is something for Barry to it's Barry. I do apologize. Barry will now show us through the history of those protections. Barry, over to you.
thank you, Thomas. This is Barry Cobb for the record. I just wanted to walk the group through basically kind of where we are today from an implementation perspective. And the reason for this is what was included in the agenda was the a list of the specification 5 that's posted on ICANN.org that Stefan's team had provided edits to. And so I just wanted to make sure that the context around their attempt at this list was clear to everybody on the group. So In our original PDP for the IGO, INGO protections that concluded back in 2013, and as within the section of that report for the Red Cross and society names, there was a designation of scope 2 identifiers that was included in that report. And I've pasted what that scope 2 statement was over in the right-hand notes pod, just to extract from that report. As everyone's aware, the GNSO or that PDP recommendation at that time was that this scope of names would only receive claims protection for 90 days. Obviously, we're here in the reconvened group because that did clash with GAC advice. Between then, which again was around the conclusion of 2013 and up to 2015, subsequent GAC advice and given the duration of implementation of some of the recommendations, had asked ICANN board to temporarily reserve this set of scope 2 identifiers. And when staff was implementing or responding to that board resolution, they essentially took the original list that was supplied by Stefan's team in that original PDP. I should have included the link that is attached to that original report, but in essence, it was a Word document that listed the formal, and Stefan, please forgive me if I confuse how we should be what the proper term is, but I try to use the formal designation or the formal identifier of those 189 National Red Cross societies, as well as the International Federation of Red Cross societies and one or two other of those designations. The point being is that it was essentially a list of formal names that was provided to the working group. When staff was implementing, they essentially took that list and scrubbed it to make sure that all of the names that were identified in there could be converted to DNS labels. And so there is a true difference between how a formal name is listed as we might see it on letterhead or in an email versus what an actual DNS label would mean. That is something that can be registered at the second level from a particular TLD. To perform that, essentially staff has an algorithm that will take a set of strings and convert those into DNS labels. That algorithm has a series of rules. I've tried to put some of the most common rules within that. I believe that is bullet point 5 at the bottom of page 1, or starting there. But it'll essentially take a string and it attempts in the end result to collapse it into a single string that is a DNS label. So for instance, it will remove any spaces between that formal name. It will also convert a space and put in a dash, which is a character that can be part of a formal DNS label. And where it runs into issues, for instance, if a particular name, when collapsed or converted, if it exceeds 63 characters, I don't have the RFC number on me, but essentially there's a part of an RFC out there that states that second level names or any part of a formal domain string can't exceed 63 characters. So if it turned out that it was 64, that particular string could never be registered anyway. And then, of course, if there are strings that are not based in ASCII format, I think that original list had a couple of images from some non-Latin character names of a few societies. Obviously, that can't be converted into a label. And then lastly, if there are non-Latin character names, that would be converted into a U label, which essentially is what you might see as the XN dash dash in a series of characters that is showing the conversion of that non-Latin script into a DNS label. So after that algorithm was run, that was posted up onto the link that Mary put into the chat, which is the formal place where registry operators will go to meet compliance with their registry agreement on what name should be reserved. One section of that is the set of names that are reserved from the International Olympic Committee, the Red Cross, as well as IGOs and IGOs. So that's kind of a short history where that list has come from. And then just my last statement before I turn it back over to Thomas, what was included in the agenda was also an attachment of that Stefan's team's attempt to help us come up with a definitive set of society names and strings that would eventually receive this protection. And so... apologies, I have a little bit of noise behind me. So what they had basically done is taken a copy of that reserve names list and then made their suggested edits to that. And we can talk a little bit more about that when we get into agenda item 4, when we talk about the formula what we should do with that. So I'll turn it back over to you, Thomas, and hopefully what I stated was somewhat clear. This really starts to get confusing when we're talking about the number of strings and how that actually might be implemented and the difference between a formal designation of a name versus what would actually translate into the DNS. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Barry. Well done. Are there any questions for Barry? Stefan, you have a question. Go ahead. Stefan, if you're speaking, you might be on mute. We can't hear you. Stefan? There seem to be some audio issues. Stefan, we can't hear you. Okay, so I suggest that we proceed, and whenever Stefan has solved his audio issues, we'll bring him back into the queue and give him the floor. Okay, so with only Stefan having a question on this, did everyone have an opportunity to take a look at the list that Stefan and team have provided, which has been attached to Barry's email? So I guess that's been brought up in the Adobe room. Yes, it's appearing on my screen. So we just, you know, I think we can't really go through and analyze this list as a collaborative effort, but we wanted to bring this up in the agenda and at least give everyone the opportunity to ask questions with respect to that list. Is there anything in there that you find particularly odd or where you have questions on? I see Jeff's hand is raised, so Jeff, please fire away.
Yeah, thanks. For the list, are you asking whether we just have comments on the Red Cross ones or on all of them?
You can ask whatever questions you might have with respect to the list as provided by Stefan and his team.
Okay, so this list, again, just to clarify, this list that's sent is what's currently protected. And I guess I guess since Stefan's on here, at least with requests with aspect to the Red Cross ones, I mean, you know, most of them seem like they're full names, and that's fine. That those make a lot of sense. The ones that don't make as much sense to me are the abbreviations, things that are like three or four characters. So things like CVTL and there's a couple others in there that have three or four characters. So I just, if Stefan could explain whether those are actually protected under the law or whether those are just commonly known abbreviations for those in a particular geographic area. I'd like to understand a little bit more about those with the Red Cross.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Before we move to Stefan for an answer, let me just clarify. What Barry has linked to is the list of currently protected names. What Stefan has sent to the list as forwarded by Barry, and as you can see in the Adobe room now, is what the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement have suggested as the protected list. And this is just for us to review and potentially comment on. This is nothing that we should, that we are obliged to take on an as-is basis, but it was the first crack at creating a finite list that was kindly offered by Stefan and his team. Mary, do you want to offer additional explanations? Then I would go to you first and then to Stefan for response to Jeff.
Thanks, Thomas. Yeah, this is Mary from staff. So just a little bit of additional background on the document that you see on the screen, which is, as Barry said in the chat, a first attempt to try to reconcile the names. And as I also said earlier, as we go along with this discussion in this group, as we agree on criteria and principles, then working through the implementation, this list may look a little different. And the other thing I wanted to add is what's on the screen, what we are concerned with in this group is really the list of names that start on page 2, I believe, because on page 1, that is the specific names and designations of the Red Cross. Red Cross, Croissant Rouge, Red Crescent, Red Crystal, those are the ones that have already been reconciled and adopted. So what we're concerned with in this reconvened group are the National Society names and the International Movement names, which start on page 2. And so as Barry has also said in the chat, and Stefan, I know you did have a question about this in the email that you sent last night. We are not talking in this group at the moment about acronyms. And so you see some of those acronyms were not included by staff. And so that's something that is out of scope for this group. We're looking right now, as directed by the council, at the names of the International Red Cross Movement and the names of the National Societies of the Red Cross. Thomas, I hope that clarified and didn't muddy anything. Thanks.
I think we should ask Jeff as the one who asked the question in the first place. Jeff, does that answer your question?
Sort of. Sorry, this is Jeff. I'm trying to reconcile, there are a number of, quote, acronyms on that list that are not on pages 1 and 2. So there are things like SPR and FRA and a whole bunch of other ones. So I'm completely confused as to if it's out of scope, then why is it on the list? And, I mean, I see changes are the red line ones. Sorry if I'm just acting a little dense here, but please help.
Thomas, can you hear me?
Just one second, Stefan. Thanks, Jeff, for raising that point. As I said previously, this is a list that has been provided by Stefan and team, and I can also confirm that we've made abundantly clear that acronyms are not part of this exercise, and therefore at least the acronyms need to be removed from this list if this list were to serve as the basis for creating a finite list of strings that shall be protected. Stefan, I'm glad that your audio is working. So please do make your original comment that you wanted to get in for earlier as well as your response now.
Yes, thank you. Hello to all. So you can hear me?
Yes, we can hear you all right.
Okay, thank you very much. I apologize. Okay, well, first of all, what I would like to underline is what is on the screen is not. I'm not sure we can truly discuss this because since this was prepared, we have received a lot. We have a lot more clarity on, you know, on eventual criteria and what needs to be done. So I wouldn't necessarily want to, to comment on the list on the screen because we obviously need to rework this. I agree that, you know, when we did this, there were mistakes made because there are acronyms in there and they shouldn't be. Or that shouldn't be there. So, you know, it's really a list that needs further reworking and on the basis of the criteria which we are about to discuss, I understand. So I want to insist on this. Just to give you a short background, it took, a very big effort to get this together. As I mentioned, I believe when we were in Copenhagen, we produced this list by consulting National Red Cross, Red Crescent societies directly and asking them, you know, what they would see fit to have on the list. And of course, we had quite some difficulty for some of the scripts, not being able to get some of the names in scripts that, it can only be or were only sent in PDF format and so on. So I think I would propose that we rather agree on the criteria, the different formulations or potential formulations of each of the names, with the hyphens, without the hyphens, with the word society, without the word society, with the article, without the article. And then, we would have to rework this. We have started, in fact, but it will take a lot of time. Because by adding words with the hyphens, by adding the names with the word society, then, you know, it does increase the number. So I think that has to be, you know, the way we need to proceed today. And then we will work on this, you know, for sure in the shortest possible time. Thank you.
Thanks, Stefan. I think we should, in fact, move away from this list. You know, it was intended to give you a flavor of what strings might be on it, but I guess that particularly the acronyms in there, you know, cause some questions. And so I think we should try to move on and define criteria and then work on how to operationalize those criteria. And while doing so, I think it would be most helpful for you, Stefan, and your colleagues to reach out to the national societies and ask them to provide exact strings based on the formula that we agree on. But I have another hand raised. Mary, maybe you can upload the list of principles for discussion while Jeff is making his intervention, and then we'll proceed to agenda item number 4. Jeff, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thanks, and I'll just support what you just said, that let's get the principles down, because these lists are not helpful, because, again, they're kind of, you know, a comparison of what the board has already approved on an interim basis, but they don't take into account GNSO policy that we passed that went to the board has in there. And that's, if we're going to look at a list, it should be that list that the GNSO has approved versus what they're asking us to approve in the future. That's the only list that's going to be helpful to us, not a list compared to what the board already requires, because we started this policy development process with a blank slate, not with sounds like there's a lot of noise back there. We started this policy development process with a blank slate on developing principles, not with taking into consideration what the board had already done on an interim basis. So for the future, if we can just, I guess, destroy that list for now, let's agree on the principles, and then let's compare the principles. And if we're going to do a list, do the list of what the GNSO has proposed already, not what is already from the board. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Jeff, and I think you're spot on that we should be doing our own analysis and recommendations and not base this on what the board has previously done. I guess that's particularly true for the list, but I guess that the run-through of criteria that has been applied by ICANN staff to operationalize the earlier recommendations has been quite helpful for us to understand how actually a formula can be operationalized. Now, what you see in front of you in the Adobe room is an extract that Mary Wong has kindly prepared based on Stefan's email. So some of the criteria that you find in here are criteria that in these words or in comparable words have been described by Barry or that we've discussed earlier. But I suggest that we run through them one by one, collect feedback, and then hopefully come up with a with an exhaustive list of criteria on how a protection list can be established. Now, the first criteria that you find at the beginning of the document is full match names of the International Committee of the Red Cross and of the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies in 6 UN languages. Is there any opposition to adding those strings to the list? Again, 6 UN languages, full match names, and we're not talking about variations with hyphens and stuff. That's for later. Okay, I see a green tick from Jeff. I don't hear any opposition. Another tick from Jorge, green tick that is, so that's great. So I suggest that we take note of no objection to the protection of those names. I see Stefan's hand is raised, and now it's lowered again. So Stefan, if you want to go back into the queue,
yeah,
please raise your hand. And there it is again, Stefan, please.
Yeah. Can you hear me, Thomas?
I can hear you, and I'm sure the rest of the group can also.
Sorry for this. So, Stefan Hankins, I wanted, but maybe we need to come back at a later stage of this conversation. I noted in the document that you sent, Thomas, that you were referring to the list, which, you know, to names that were included on the list of the or that the board adopted for the temporary protections, and I was unclear, you know, in your formulation whether these, you know, should be taken into consideration or not. But for instance, in the list that was adopted by the board, there are the words international. There is the name International Movement of the Red Cross and Red Crescent, which is the overall statutory name of what is called the movement, the International Movement of the Red Cross, Red Crescent, which is also a text which is adopted and endorsed by the government and by the states. So I was hesitating yesterday to put it in what I sent, and I eventually put it simply in the later point in a comment to your document, Thomas. But it's true that, you know, if we're talking about the overall names, if we wanted to be consistent, you know, we would, there would be a value to also add the name of the movement itself. So I'll just mention this here for the record, and then I don't know whether we come back to it at a later stage in this conversation. But it's true that as regards international names, that would be a valuable addition.
Sorry, I had to get myself off mute. Then I suggest that we put that into the notes. I think we need to be very precise with respect to the exact strings that shall be protected. So I don't see anything in the notepad to that effect so far. So let's just wait for, I guess it's Mary who's running the notepad. But to take stock of what we've discussed so far, there's no opposition to using the strings that you have mentioned with the first bullet point in your email. We now, you know, once we see the strings in the notepad, sorry for the delay with this, but I think we just need to be crystal clear on what we add to the formula.
Tom, so, this is Mary.
Mary, please.
Yeah, thanks, Thomas. And Stefan can correct me. What I've put into the notepad under the heading question is something that I think he had raised in his email, and I believe he was speaking to that. Specifically, I think in terms of this first suggested draft principle, the two international organizations, the question is the word, quote, International Red Cross and Red Crescent Movement. And you'll see that in that was something he explained he did not include in that first draft principle. So per Jeff's comment in the Adobe chat, adding the word movement, but the specific name, I believe, would be International Red Cross and Red Crescent Movement.
Okay, but I don't seem to see that in the notes section, I'm afraid.
Let me try this again and see if
now an addition is coming through.
Yeah, because I put the entirety of Stefan's question in the question section because I wasn't sure that I could capture everything accurately, but I think that this is the exact international name that Stefan had mentioned that he had not included in that first draft principle, and the question is whether this should also be included. Is that right,
okay,
Thomas and Stefan?
Mary, what I suggest Go ahead, Stefan.
Yeah. So that is correct, Mary. The words international movement of the Red Cross, Red Crescent are actually in the list that was endorsed by the board at the time. This is the statutory name of the International Red Cross, Red Crescent movement, which is endorsed by states because it's the states endorsed and adopted those statutes. So I'm mentioning it so that we address it now and it comes as no surprise.
Yeah. Okay, but just in terms of note taking, I think what we should list is are the agreed principles that should go into the formula, and I think the first principle is that we have. As Stefan mentioned at the top of his note, full match names of the International Committee of the Red Cross and of the International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies in 6 UN languages. And then the addition to that would be International Red Cross and Red Crescent movement, right, in 6 UN languages?
Correct.
Plus, do we need to add what Jeff has put in the note section, International Movement of the Red Cross and Red Crescent? So movement at the end of international movement?
Both names are used. So in principle, if the agreement is to add this because it's a designation of the international structures of the movement, then in principle the two versions should be added. Is
okay.
It correct? The International Movement of the Red Cross and Red Crescent, or International Red Cross and Red Crescent Movement.
Okay, so let me now ask for any opposition to adding those two strings in 6 UN languages to the principles. Any opposition to that? So I trust Stefan, that's an old hand, or at least it should be an opposition. So I think we can tick that criterion off the list as well. So that's great. Now, let's now move to the next criterion, and that is under the heading with regard to National Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, and I'm now reading Arabic 1, both the official and the usual names, so Stefan is using different terminology here than Barry has, names of Red Cross National Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies that are recognized as components of the International Red Cross and Red Crescent Movement, e.g. American National Red Cross and American Red Cross, or Croix Rouge du Tchad and Croix Rouge Tchadienne. So I'm not sure, Jeff, whether this is a comment to this point or to the previous point, but by any means, fire away.
Yeah, thanks. It's to this one, and I guess it applies to the next one as well. we need to be very precise with all of these principles, and so usual names is not a term I'm familiar with. I mean, official could be easily obtained, I would think, but usual is not a term I would like to see in a principle, because I don't know what that means without seeing every specific one, because usual in theory could be an abbreviation, it could be I don't know. So is there a definition of that?
Thanks very much for that comment, Jeff, and that's actually a question that I would have brought up if you hadn't brought it up. I think that using the official name is likely uncontroversial. Usual names, and let me remind you of what Stefan has mentioned earlier in this call when he said that they've reached out to the national chapters and asked them what they see fit for protection. So that might be broader and potentially ambiguous. I'm not saying that any of those proposals would be rejected, but we need to come up with a formula that is actually unambiguous to the extent that staff can just use an official name of any new chapter and come up without external help with a finite list of additions that need to be made to the main list. So what I see is that there is at least one concern raised with the word username. So let's please remove usual names from this criterion, and I will now ask whether there are objections to include the official names of the respective organizations to the list. So let me check whether there is objection to add the official names to the list. I see one green tick, but as usual, we are primarily testing for objections, as our definition of consensus is testing whether there are substantial objections. So that does not seem to be the case. Thanks very much. Mary, do you have another comment to make?
Yes, I do, Thomas. This is Mary from staff. I wanted to note Jorge's note in the chat where he speaks to usual names, and he also notes something that staff wanted to remind the group about. Jorge does note that as a criteria, we do need a form of a finite number of names pursuant to the list from the Red Cross team. And that question of a finite number of names harks back also to the instructions we received from the GNSO Council that whatever the principles and criteria it is that we develop, it should relate to a specific limited set of names and a finite, you know, set of variants of those names. So to the extent that the term usual name can be better explained and understood, it still needs to be within that instruction from the council. Thanks, Thomas.
Thanks very much, Mary. That's a useful addition. I also take note of Mason Cole's comment about full names. So for the avoidance of doubt, we should clarify in the note section that official full names of the organization shall be added to the list. I see that Jeff's hand is raised. So let's move to Jeff and then to Stefan, and then let's move to the next recommendation, the next proposal.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. So I just want to point out for the record to Jorge, I'm not saying that names shouldn't be protected. I just don't know what usual means. And if there's a way to describe it, you know, under U.S. law, you know, we would say something like doing business as or something like that. I just don't know. We can't just leave a term in there like usual and not have that defined. So just for the record, we're not saying we don't want to protect names. We're just saying we don't know what usual means. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Jeff. And yeah, maybe I can briefly jump in before Stefan responds, because we do have criteria later on that sort of likely make it what the use of the names in, for their target audiences. With adding the article, with adding possessive pronouns. I'm not sure whether that's the English word of this grammar or of this word type, but we have do and the and other other things that can be added to make it more like it's used in the trade. So I think if you want to capture the notion of user names, it needs to be it needs to be a description or a formula that can be applied by the folks that need to be that are involved in the implementation. Stefan, your hand is raised.
I think the answers that I was going to give have been given. The notion of usual names, of course, you know, I agree that, you know, the concept can certainly be refined, whether, you know, we replace it by commonly used or, you know, but it's the example that is there, such as, for example, American National Red Cross and American Red Cross is a very good example. You know, that the National Red Cross Society in the United States is not, you know, its statutory name is, or official name is different from, you know, the name it is commonly known by. So, you know, this is what obviously we're trying to capture here. So, you know, the formula, whether we say, you know, reference to official names and commonly used names, or, you know, that would do perfectly. And just to abide by what Jorge was saying, it's clear that it doesn't mean, you know, a multiplication. What it means is, you know, that you can't just have the official name if, you know, the commonly known name is different. And of course, you know, this is where, you know, obviously, and this comes up for the other criteria as well, this is where the absence of, you know, any form of string similarity review needs to be, you know, addressed and complemented. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Stefan. And there's some communication going on in the chat, particularly. Jeff is coming up with a proposal, it looks like, you know, for different variations of the American Red Cross. So, Jeff, would you possibly volunteer to come up with a set of words that we can use to circumscribe how these variations can be created?
Yeah, this is Jeff. So, I mean, I've put something in the chat because the term that Stefan had used is commonly known as, and I think that's better than using the term usual. So if we can put the official and commonly known as names, I think that would be much better and will help us produce a full list and give us a better guidance.
Thanks very much, Jeff. What I'm struggling with, to be quite honest, is regardless of whether we call it username or common name, how can staff possibly determine what's a username or what's a common name for a society that's been added to the current list of societies? So isn't there a way that we can use to describe what common names are? Because I trust that that there are limits to what's commonly used for these types of names. So I think that, you know, if we say American Red Cross, it can have the, you know, that each and every string can have the addition national, that the article can be added to that the order can be changed from American Red Cross to the American Red Cross or whatever other variation we had in the chat, you know. So can't we come up with a formula of general nature that can be more or less parsed by a machine? Jeff, is that in your hand?
Yeah. So I was going to say, you know, we could employ something like the trademark clearinghouse stuff where they have to show use, right? So that, you know, it's not that they're just making it up, but in order to get on the list, if, you know, other than the official name, if they want a commonly known as name added, they're going to have to show some period of usage either on the website, on their collateral material, that it just can't be made up. And not that I think that they would do that, but you know, I'm sure you would find lots of literature, for example, that has just American Red Cross on it as opposed to American National Red Cross. And I'm assuming you'd find existing literature with the other, quote, usual names. So I do think that it could be, you know, it's going to require a little bit of additional work from staff, but I do not see that as an impossible task. If they want protection for the, quote, commonly known as name, I'm sure they'll have materials that would justify that to put that on the list. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see Stefan's hand is raised, and I guess that will be the last intervention from the team on this call, and then we have to adjourn.
I have to say, you know, that under usual names, I think we will fall back on the criteria that are lower. Because when most of the time, the usual name is the name without the word society. That's what it is, usually. So, you know, when we say usual names, you know, most of these will in any case be covered on, you know, lower with the other criteria. You know, the National Society may be called the American Red Cross. Well, you know, the usual name will be American Red Cross, or, you know, so the idea is really not to, you know, to multiply indefinitely. The second point is that it's perfectly fine, of course, for the staff to look for that. But of course, the other way is, you know, to base ourselves on, you know, the information we receive from the National Society itself. I don't think they, you know, they will invent, or there's no, not much of a risk for that. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Stefan. We have 3 minutes left before the top of the hour, or now only 2 minutes left. So I guess we need to continue this exercise and come up with a refined formula and walk through the criteria. I'm not sure who of you will be in Abu Dhabi for the face-to-face meeting, but, you know, although we don't have a formal meeting scheduled for Abu Dhabi, we might be able to get a room to further discuss, unfortunately, without remote participation facilities. But would not be a meeting in which decisions are made, but it's rather to use the opportunity of having at least some of you in the same place to continue working on that and then prepare a proposal that can be presented to and discussed by the group. I would suggest that that staff sends out a proposal on when and where such meeting can take place. For Jorge, you can even have 2 cups of good coffee, I'm sure. So if you guys volunteer to work with us in Abu Dhabi, that would just be awesome. So I would like to thank staff for preparing this, Stefan and team for preparing the additional documentation. I would like to thank all of you for your active participation, for your participation and listening today. And I'm looking forward to seeing some of you in Abu Dhabi and the rest of you when we see each other next time on a call. Thanks so much, and this meeting is now adjourned. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.